In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, September 29th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The Family Research Council handed Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis their 2015 Cost of Discipleship Award at the Values Voter Summit over the weekend. Davis said she was thankful to, quote, "my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, because without him it would never be possible, for he is my strength that carries me," unquote. Persecution in Laos is on the rise in the form of trumped-up bureaucratic charges. Christians who pray for the sick are subject to the charge of illegal medical practice in the country. A Christian man, jailed earlier this year on the charge of being an illegal doctor, died from complications related to his diabetes. Annie Cotton from Christian Aid says the persecution of Christians in Laos comes from a variety of different sources.
In Laos, Buddhism and animism is the majority religion, and so they are afraid of Christians. Most of them don't know a Christian. We had an example of one of the heads of the village. His daughter passed away, and he was blaming it on some villagers who had accepted Christ as their Savior, and he believed her death was caused by angry village spirits who were oppressed by the Spirit of Jesus when they came to embrace that Christian faith. So it's very different than what we're accustomed to in this day.
An Argentina pastor is under intense persecution for his evangelical work among prostitutes and drug addicts in the Cordoba region. So far, Pastor Marcela Nieva has survived vandalism, persecution at the hands of the local police, and an assassination attempt. He has fought for legal protection in federal courts, and thus far, his appeals have been successful, according to World Watch Monitor. Pray for the protection of Pastor Nieva in Argentina. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. The Christian Legal Defense Organization, Liberty Institute, reports a 400% increase in requests for help since the Obergefell decision in June. Legal counsel Jeff Mateer says meetings with pastors are packing out. Both Mateer and Kelly Shackelford from the Liberty Institute will address thousands of Christian pastors and families at the National Religious Liberties Conference in Des Moines, Iowa on November 6th and 7th. For more information on this important conference, visit freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org. What corporations are most likely to persecute Christian employees? WorldNet Daily lists the companies at war with Christians in the United States based on the Corporate Equality Index. These include Chevron, Apple, General Motors, General Electric, Ford, AT&T, Hewlett-Packard, United Health Group, and J.P. Morgan Chase. The Central African Republic is now torn by Muslim violence. 21 people died when Muslims attacked a predominantly Christian neighborhood over the weekend. Elections in the Central African Republic are due in mid-October. The nations may be in upheaval, but a missionary to Hungary, Phil Metzger, is taking advantage of the vast wave of immigrants from the Middle East, and he's ministering with food and the Word of God. According to a report from Christian Headlines, Metzger, with members from the Budapest Calvary Chapel, are visiting multiple refugee camps. Metzger said this is an answer to prayer to preach the gospel to Muslims, saying, quote, "I cannot go to most of their countries, but in these last 2 weeks, they came to me," unquote. Jesus Christ is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And all things are under his feet, and he is the head over all things to the church. Ephesians 1:21. A Green Beret was discharged from the army for his interaction with an Afghan police commander who reportedly admitted to indescribable acts of rape in the presence of U.S. soldiers. Sergeant First Class Charles Martland says he proceeded to, quote, "body slam the child rapist," unquote, and threw him outside of the camp. Last week, Afghan President Ashraf Ghani admitted that violent sexual abuse is widespread among many wealthy and prominent leaders in that Muslim country. He promised his government would try to do something to stamp it out. There is only one sure solution to these nations that lie in thick darkness. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Ephesians 2:1-2. NASA is pretty sure they found water on the planet Mars. John Grunsfeld, administrator for NASA, says this offers the possibility of life on Mars, which evolutionists hope would substantiate naturalistic evolution and remove the supernatural from the equation altogether. Psalm 115:2-3 asks, why do the nations ask, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes. On this Tuesday, September 29th, in the year of our Lord, 2015, I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack, also in studio with me. He's already raised his kids. He's a little older than me.
Hey. So you want to talk about ages? You want to talk about dating methods?
We'll talk about dating methods.
That's what. Mm-hmm. But it's not the dating methods people are thinking
it
about.
We're going to talk about dating today.
Yeah.
But first, a couple of things. I want to bring up this article from Breitbart called "Sex Bots: Why Women Should Panic." Now, it's not the most pleasant article in the world, so I'm not going to recommend it as a good read. But it does bring up some interesting points. And before I do that, though, you know, one of the statistics that's bothered me more than anything else is a statistic I pulled off of Covenant Eyes about 2 weeks ago. I think I've mentioned this already. 63% of 18 to 30-year-old Christian males have a porn habit. They're addicted to porn. That is, they're hitting the sites multiple times a week. And if you look at a monthly deal, it's closer to 80%. 80% effectively addicted to pornography. And, you know, one of the requirements that I placed on those who I would officiate their marriages is that they not be addicted to pornography at the point at which they take their vows. I think that's pretty important. At least that's a value or a principle that I've laid down for officiating weddings, because I just don't think starting a marriage where you've got a real dysfunctional situation where a guy is messed up. He's got a porn habit.
He has unrealistic expectations.
Well, he's got all
that. He begins
to
view women as objects, not as, you know, mate.
And one of the qualifications or one of the allowances for divorce, according to our Lord Jesus Christ, is that one of the parties is given way to porneia, that is a sexual sin or fornication. And if one of the parties is given over to some form of sexual sin or porneia, that constitutes an allowance for divorce, according to Jesus' standards. And it's possible, I think it's possible, that a pretty heavy-duty form of addiction to pornography could constitute a just cause for divorce. So therefore, I don't think you want to marry somebody who would be qualified for divorce the very next day. I think that makes sense. So therefore, friends, 80%, roughly 80% of young men are not qualified for marriage, and this is a very serious problem. I just received an email from a 15-year-old in the South somewhere, and he said he's got a problem with lust, and he's addicted. He's got an addiction issue with lust. Now, he didn't spell out the specifics on this, but friends, I'm talking a 15-year-old, and my guess is there's a lot of 14-year-olds and 13-year-olds, and that's going to be pretty damaging. Now, my guess is that most of these problems were initiated by pornography.
Yeah, or not even just hardcore pornography, softcore pornography that you see in mainstream television shows.
Sure.
Or on billboards or in magazines, because that's how we are just inundated with that, and men are visually stimulated.
Yeah.
Men are visually stimulated, so what happens is we get frustrated and addicted to that, and we have unrealistic expectations. And if you set that in motion in a 15-year-old, he's going to have problems when he's got a spouse.
This young man is asking for help, and my encouragement is he finds somebody who can he can be accountable to, hopefully some responsible elder within his own church. And hopefully there's been people within the church, pastors and elders, that have made this a major issue. And if there's a church out there that has not considered this to be a major sin and a major concern of the day, you're hardly qualified to shepherd God's people, folks, if that be the case. You've got to be addressing this. And we started several years ago, Bill, with settingcaptivesfree.com. It's a very good course by Mike Cleveland. I recommend it to folks. It's a 60-day course that we have used called The Way of Purity. He's got a number of other courses as well, but really gospel-centered, good stuff requiring accountability for each day that the study takes place. It's a two-month deal where every single day you're in connection with somebody who's asking you the important question, have you masturbated or have you referred to a pornography site in the last 24 hours? So they're asking the tough questions, they're holding you accountable, and at the same time, you're studying the Word of God and what the Word has to say about the gospel and how Jesus sets the captives free, including those who are completely absorbed in the sin of lust.
And the problem is that Satan always offers a counterfeit. When God calls a man and a woman to become one, the act of marriage is the sexual union act. That is the act of marriage. And they become one at that point. Well, what Satan offers is sex without responsibility, sex without commitment. So you have the supposed pleasure without any connection to a relationship. And so what's happening in our culture, according to this article, is that men are simply checking out, giving up on women, retreating into porn and video games. And this guy calls it a sexodus.
Yeah. And it's bad news for women. It's very, very bad. 80% of young men not qualified for marriage. And you've got an additional problem of the female-to-male ratio is 1.2 to 1 in America. And amongst some faiths, as in the Mormon faith, it's 3 to 2. So it's just terrible circumstances for women. And so we're going to offer some solutions, some ideas, and some hope in just a moment on this generation's broadcast, but please be aware, friends, the world is passing away with the lust thereof, and it appears that we are looking at the very end of an entire society. Even as we speak, this civilization is slowly dissipating away for a lot of reasons, but it's because, of course, the Pandora's box is open. The demons are flying and have been since the 1950s. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson on the Generations Radio broadcast.
On April 24th, Christian bakers from Oregon were fined $135,000 for declining to bake a cake for a gay wedding. On June 26th, the Supreme Court redefined marriage in direct opposition to the Word of God. On November 6th and 7th, you can join the Benham Brothers, Nagme Abedini, Kelly Shackelford, and Steve Dace in Des Moines, Iowa, at the Freedom 2015 National Religious Liberties Conference. Now is the time to stand for our religious freedoms. Go to freedom2015.org to get signed up.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here today. As we talk about depersonalized, derelationalized sexuality. And, of course, we live in a derelationalized world. It's important for us to continue to get back to the fact that we are Cain's wandering east of Eden, building the cities, the anonymous cities, and slowly but surely dissolving relationships. And we're talking about family relationships, we're talking church relationships, we're talking about churches that don't spend any time in hospitality and in connection with each other, and where mega churches, hardly anybody really knows each other, and there's very little accountability going on in the church anymore. We're looking at an entirely derelationalized postmodern age probably the coldest and most lonely era in all of human history. And so depersonalized sexuality, of course, is going to be a byproduct of that. And really, it should not be much of a surprise that this huge explosion in pornography and pornography addictions has occurred just over the last 20 years. This is the capstone of an entire society that's been living east of Eden roughly since John Steinbeck wrote the book. But this guy talks about sex with robots, et cetera, et cetera. He says that's the norm in 50 years. Experts are saying men are considering the prospect with curiosity and a sense of humor, but academics and feminists are terrified and calling for them to be banned. And let me tell you why. And he goes on and on. So this guy, again, I wouldn't recommend his article. He's a homosexual. He says for the reason that, you've got the destruction of women going on at this with the rise of feminism, as well as the destruction of men. Talks about Japan. I think that's important. We've mentioned that before on the program. Japan's nationwide sexual dysfunction is at the root of its economic problems, and it's the reason for the country's cultural implosion, too, which is very true. I mean, we've said that before many, many times in this program, but he says we're going to have it worse here in the West because Japan is still patriarchal. So he says they've got a little bit of an edge in that area, but the West is going to be even worse than whatever Japan is facing right now, largely because of the sexual dysfunction and this massive, massive derelationalizing of sexuality, which may or may not involve sex bots, but certainly with the legitimization of self-gratification and pornography, you're already seeing the depersonalization of sexuality. So it's really no big surprise that this has basically derelevantized marriage in the minds of most young men, and it certainly has set it off into the future. So there's a lot of problems that will face our young women, and that's the point made in this article, is that women are going to suffer. Women are going to suffer so much, and they should panic right now because of this. I don't think they should panic. We've got some biblical solutions for you in just a moment. But Time Magazine also brought out a similar article called The Modern Dating Crisis.
Yep.
And what two religions are doing about it, referring to Mormons and Orthodox Jews. Very interesting article. It extended beyond 3, 4, 5 pages. Very, very long article on this. And it's looking at, again, a social problem. And you know what's funny here, Bill, is that we've been talking about these social problems, which ultimately come out of sin, about safe sex, and all of the fornication, and all the shackups, and all the hookups, and all the things that have been presented by the liberal media and sold by the liberal media since the 1950s.
As well as the changing in roles of men and women from a biblical view to a secular view. And this study starts off, or this article starts off with citing multiple studies that cite that there are more college graduates who are women than are men. And so one of the problems is, a college-graduated woman is reluctant to marry, supposedly beneath herself in that economic or socioeconomic status, and marry someone who does not have a college degree. So therefore, there's a disparity in availability of males for these college-graduated women.
What we're doing, we're stacking problem upon problem.
Yes.
Here. We're looking at 80% of young men disqualified from marriage. But stack on that the 60-40 ratio in college, they put it at 4.1 million men against 5.5 million college-educated women. That's 4 women for every 3 men.
It's worse than that among college grads who are 30 to 39. It's 7.4 million women versus 6 million men. In other words, 5 women for every 4 men.
Yeah, but it's getting worse as the years go by, and that's the point made by the article. And by the year 2020, 2030, forget about it. And then it brings out the Mormon Church. Apparently in the Mormon Church, there's 3 women to every single man. And a woman by the name of Tristan Hunt is quoted in the article. She is the founder of Mormon Matchmaker, a Salt Lake City dating agency. She says there's 3 times more single women than single men in her matchmaking database. She shared stories of a devout Mormon women who wind up marrying outside the religion officially known as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints simply because they had no other options.
And these women
go for $10,000 breast implants, et cetera, to make themselves more attractive so they can beat the sex bot for those shallow-minded Mormon men who need you know, might need a woman.
You know, we do at Worldview Academy, we do a camp at Northern Arizona University in the summertime. And during that same week that we're there, the Mormons have their, what I call their dating camp. Now, these are high school age students, boys and girls, young men and young women. And you see them all over campus, and they are walking arm in arm to different seminars. They end the week with a big dance. And so they have adults there who train them how to interact with the opposite sex. It's brilliant on the part of the Mormon church because they are getting them to marry within the faith, and it keeps them there. Okay. Yeah. It's a brilliant strategy. It's a brilliant ploy, but it's often you'll see one young man, and on each arm he'll have a young lady because there are more girls than there are boys at this camp.
Well, they may have to back down and rethink
polygamy. Yes,
right.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the future in a modern pagan world. I think polygamy is a no-brainer. I've said that for the last 10 years. It was weird when I came out and said it 10 years ago, but it's not weird anymore. Everybody knows that consenting adults are going to be able to do whatever they want to do by the year 2020. That's probably the biggest no-brainer that we have said this year on this radio program. Polygamy's coming. It's coming back to Utah. It's coming back just about everywhere. I think that will be the only solution, especially when you have so many disqualified men and a huge woman-to-man ratio in the United States, as well as China as well. You think about the sex selection abortions that's been happening in China for the last 30, 40 years, and they're going to have an even more severe problem than we will here in the West. So now we talked a little bit about what happens to the Mormons. By the way, the Orthodox Jewish community is dealing with the same thing, and that's the substance of this article from Time Magazine, the modern dating crisis. So now here's the question that I want to ask. You talked a little bit about what the Mormons are doing, $10,000 breast implants and other things. We would suggest a couple of other ideas. What should Christians do? That's really where I want to end the program, Bill. What should Christians do? I think there are a lot of young women out there probably a little concerned that they're not going to get married. Well, here's the first thing that I think needs to happen. And that is, I think we need to get past being so squeamish about talking about these social issues. In our conferences, in our churches, our churches should not be embarrassed at all about putting these issues on the table. Time Magazine does. Breitbart does. So why can't the church? Why do guys like us get in trouble when we start talking about egalitarianism on these radio shows? And then it becomes this massively complicated, controversial issue in our churches or in our communities. Why should that be? I tell you why. It's because people aren't dealing with the real issues. Feminism is a suicidal, destructive thing. That's what this Breitbart article tells you. And that's what this Time Magazine article is telling you. Feminism is a suicidal, destructive thing. That is, feminism hurts women. And it's time for somebody to just say that and say, it's time to get this issue on the table and start talking about a biblical approach to men's roles and women's roles in the home and perhaps also in the church and in society. And see, if you're scared to talk about this, you're scared to put this on the table. If you're not willing to face fundamental problems, you got an issue. I think, Bill, what we need is people who are willing to repent. That's really where I'm getting on this program. I think you got to be willing to face the real issue, the real problems. And the real problems are things like men escaping reality, men trying to escape maturity. And it's really, really damaging to society. When men run away from maturity and responsibility, and when they try to escape reality, which is what is happening when they're playing games and derelationalizing their sex, come on, face the real issue. What's the real issue? The real issue, guys, is you're running away from God. Okay? See, I'm talking fundamental now. I'm digging down and I'm getting to the real fundamental issue. Why you do what you do? You got to be asking yourself those questions. Why are you so given to games? Why are you not growing up? Why are you running away from responsibility? I think Guys need to face their worldview problems. And they got to be willing to listen to messages and sermons that challenge their way of thinking. And you need to go to tough conferences. You need to go to tough churches that really challenge you. Don't wimp out. Face the sermon, sit in the sermon, seek the mercy of God in Christ as you finally realize that you are messed up. You haven't been thinking rightly about, well, almost everything. You've got some fundamental bad ways of thinking. And Bill, as you know, that's precisely what repentance is. Repentance is a metanoeo. I think of Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but here it is, be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Oh, I thought it said the removing of your mind.
No, it's renewing of your mind.
Oh.
It's that metanoeo, that shift of mind about things. Go to church, go to a conference and say, this is my goal. At this conference, I want to know how messed up I've been in my thinking. That's my goal. I'm not going with this idea where, you know, I've been thinking just rightly. Whatever I've received from the world, whatever I've received from the zeitgeist through the media and my universities has been just right. No, you go in there saying, I've been thinking wrongly about a lot of things, and I'm willing for the Word of God to transform me, to renew me according to the good and acceptable will of God. See, I think that's the issue, Bill. I think when we begin to look at these massive social problems, we shouldn't say, well, there's no solution to this. No, we should think the Word of God has something to say, and I'm messed up. And I'm going to allow the Word of God to shift around the way I think about stuff.
So what you're saying is it's the old, what was it, the 80s, the WWJD, what would Jesus do? Before we need to ask what would Jesus do, we need to ask WWJT, what would Jesus think?
That's right.
We need to think
Absolutely.
His thoughts after him.
There you go.
And then act on what we know to be true, because we are to rewash our minds in the Word of God.
And,
so.
And you got to be willing to abandon the world's zeitgeist. You know, that's exactly what it says here. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. The world's zeitgeist. What's a zeitgeist? A zeitgeist is a worldview, really. It's the original word for worldview. It's the spirit of the age. It's the way the winds are blowing. It's whatever's popular with the world. It's egalitarianism. It's existentialism. And if you don't know what those words mean, then you've been sitting too long listening to universities and watching movies and not really knowing the sorts of ideas the world is imposing upon you. Abandon the world's ideologies and be willing to face your fundamental problems and be renewed in your mind. And here's the final thing for singles. We talk about contentment a lot. And I think contentment is important. I think, you know, leaving this thing up to God, being on your knees in prayer is critical. But commit yourself to the ministry in the church. This is what I would tell young men and young women. If you're not married, ready to get married, then what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 32 onwards? He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. That's, of course, assuming that he's not masturbating. I'm sorry, but I have to speak plainly at points. If you're single and you're stuck in the world and the world's lusts, friends, that's not who Paul's addressing. Paul's addressing the unmarried believer who cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. So what I would do if I was single is take that little portion of scripture that Paul gives to singles and just meditate on it. Put it on your wall. Live like that. Renew your mind according to those words in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. See, I think what happens, Bill, is a lot of these singles say, well, it's all about me. It's about me being a materialist. It's about me being an existentialist, living for myself. It's about me escaping. It's about me not being responsible. It's about me fulfilling my own lusts, my own pleasures, my own desires. And that's what life is all about. So they get their job, and they make their money, and they live for themselves. They live the lonely life. They typically live in an apartment all by themselves, and that, of course, is hardly a good situation because there's no accountability there, nor an opportunity to serve within a family or a church. As a Christian, I think you have an option between A or B. There is no C. You can serve the family, A, or you can serve B, the church, one or the other. You can either be in the covenant family or the covenant church. It's these singles that have separated themselves from the church. They're not serving orphans. They're not out there serving orphans and widows. They're not out in orphanages, you know, helping the body of Christ. They're not giving themselves their lives up for Jesus Christ. And as a result, they wind up living for themselves.
Yeah, self-absorbed. And it also comes out as those who look to the world as setting the standard for what a healthy young man looks like and a healthy young woman looks like. And so many young women end up anorexic. They end up with eating disorders. They end up, you know, doing all of the cosmetics without changing the heart. And so they've bought into the world's lie. You know, it's the beer commercial. If you drink this beer, you'll get this girl. That's what young men think. You know, and young women, if you wear this makeup, then you will get this guy. Mm-hmm. And that's so deceptive and so subtle and so destructive in our culture for young people. And because I got news for you, you know, the hair fades, the Bill Jack fades.
Yep.
You know?
And the world fades with just lust thereof. And I think a lot of young people need to understand this. The world is fading. The world has destroyed itself. The world has proven itself to be an utter failure. Hey, birth implosions in 80 nations around the world. Half of kids born outside of wedlock to women under 30 years of age. The marriage age just shifting up into the 30s. 80% of young men addicted to pornography. That's called total failure. The sexual revolution, a total failure. The ethics taught by 98% of American universities over the last 30, 40 years, a total failure. There's nothing to listen to. There's nothing to watch on American network television. There's nothing to listen to in American universities, friends. There is everything to pay attention to in the Word of God. And some of you are going to have to get a little bit more radical with the Word of God and a little more radical with your opposition to the world. And that's one reason we've written some of the books we've written, including The Tattoo Jesus, about the modern culture, about movies and media, and our book on sexuality called Keep the Faith on Sexuality. And friends, if you're interested in what the Word of God and Christian history, the wisest Christians in history have said about marriage, about singleness, about sexuality, about homosexuality, about some of the things we've talked about on this edition of the program, grab a copy of our book, Keep the Faith on Sexuality, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. This is Kevin Swanson with Bill Jack in studio. And we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.